Looking at the eighth commandment, again, a very simple and straightforward command, thou shalt not steal. We began by showing that there is such a thing as stealing from God, though I believe that this command refers to stealing from man. We do need to recognize that the highest form of theft is stealing, of course, from the Lord. That being said, there is a stealing from others. We looked at the first few verses of Leviticus chapter 6, and we see that there are different forms of stealing. Not all forms, of course, are to the same degree. If you steal a bag of potato chips from the store, it's not to the same degree as kidnapping, stealing a child, and even, of course, our laws of the land state such. But that being said, though there are different degrees of stealing, all stealing is stealing. All stealing is wrong, no matter what the degree, and that's true with all of sin. We saw last week that all gain, personal gain, through misrepresentation, people can call it dishonesty, it's certainly that, but it's more than that, it's stealing. The gain that we obtain through misrepresentation is a form of stealing. And this is so in selling. If we were to sell something, we looked at Proverbs 11, verse 1, and we see that these words are repeated throughout Proverbs. A false balance is an abomination to the Lord, but a just weight is his delight. It talks about integrity. It talks about honesty in selling merchandise. And, of course, there's a form of stealing in dishonesty in selling. You've stolen somebody's money, you've given them less than what you said or whatever, and that's a form of stealing. It also carries over in form of buying. Most people don't think of it, but if they think, well, if I buy something, there's no way I'm stealing. Well, that depends. You can even buy something and still be guilty of stealing. In Proverbs chapter 20, and we closed with this last week, and this is just my way of review. Proverbs 20 and verse 14, we have an example of stealing in buying. It is nothing, it's worthless, saith the buyer. But when he has gone his way, that is, after he's bought, then he boasteth. It's a form of stealing. Again, there's nothing wrong with trying to get the best deal. There's nothing wrong with looking for the best deal. That's part of stewardship. It's just good wisdom. But there is a line, and many can cross the line. You know in your heart and mind that what you want to purchase is a very good product, but you convince the seller that it's junk when you know it's not, and you drive the price down with that dishonesty. That's a form of stealing. You haven't necessarily stolen the product, but you have stolen money, because you know in your mind that it's worth more. Now, that's not the same thing as someone who is giving a super low price on something, and but there's no deceit involved. Not the same thing. But when there's deceit involved on our part, then it becomes a form of theft. Also, all price gouging is a form of stealing. I suppose that people have different definitions of price gouging, but price gouging certainly is a form of stealing. We're not of the mindset, of course, of many in society that the word profit is a terrible word. We expect people to make a profit. You'd be a fool to be in business and not want to make a profit. We realize that's all part of it, profit. But there is, somewhere there is a line, and we're not going to get into all that, but price gouging is a form of stealing. Raising prices unreasonably for scarce commodities, and I understand, cost and demand and all and that, but raising prices for scarce commodities during an emergency situation, you may not agree, but I believe is a form of stealing. It's certainly dishonest. Buying goods and taking advantage in an unfair way of a buyer's needs is a form of stealing. Someone desperately needs this product. You would normally sell this product for $10, but this person desperately needs it, so you sell it for $20 because you know they need it so bad they're going to pay the $20. Well, that's price gouging. That's dishonest. And again, not everybody agrees, but you're going to have a hard time defending your position biblically if you disagree. In Leviticus, the principle is this. In Leviticus 25, in verse 14, it says, "If thou sell aught," that means anything, whatever it is you sell, "if you sell aught unto thy neighbor or buyest," so he's covering both, selling and buying, aught, covering anything that is bought, sold, or bought, "if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand," here's the rule, "ye shall not oppress one another." That's the rule. That's God's way. Nothing wrong with buying. Nothing wrong with making a profit when you buy. Nothing wrong with, or I've got it backwards. Nothing wrong with buying and getting a good bargain when you buy. Nothing wrong with selling and making a profit. But the principle is this: ye shall not oppress, buyer and seller, one another. So the key is to avoid oppressing, whether it's oppressing the seller or whether it's oppressing the buyer, doesn't matter. To oppress is to mistreat, to victimize, it's to control, it's to ride roughshod over. Now, Paul addresses the same thing. Notice in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, and Paul is addressing the same issue in verse 6. that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, in any matter. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter. Now, the word beyond, that no man go beyond, does that not indicate that there is a line? There is a line constituting what is fair. And you can make that line in your own mind, but if you do that, you're probably going to draw the line in the wrong place. I believe God's already drawn the line, that we do not go beyond the line. And what is the line? Well, it's when you've now defrauded someone. That's the key. In the verse that we read there in the Old Testament is to oppress. Here it's defraud. It's basically the same thing. To defraud is to cheat, to deceive, to take advantage of. So when you've crossed the line when you cheat someone, whether it's buying or selling. You cross the line when you deceive someone. Now you've entered the realm of dishonesty. And now you have committed, since we're talking about buying and selling, you have committed theft. You are guilty of stealing. Paul takes it a step further. Notice in 1 Corinthians 6, he's talking about going to court with one another. The problem here in the church of Corinth was that they were taking one another to court and suing one another. Paul, of course, is condemning that, and his point is that in those matters, the church has authority to decide. And I still believe that's true. I do not believe that church members ought to ever go to court and sue one another. And I believe a church has authority to decide in those matters. Well, there's a principle here that we want to apply to everybody. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7 and 8, now again, keep in mind, he's talking to the church, but there's a principle. Now, therefore, there is utterly a fault among you, because you go to law with one another. Now, in as far as church relationship, why do you not rather take wrong? That is, take the wrong. Don't go to court. Why do you not rather suffer, permit yourselves to be defrauded? Nay, ye do wrong and defraud, and what makes it even worse is, and that, your brethren. But I believe we can carry this over. We realize the strict context here is talking within a church. We realize that. But there are principles laid out throughout the Word of God. We can make application here to unreasonable lawsuits. That's a form of theft. Well, the courts decided in my favor. I don't care. Still a form of theft. You spill hot coffee on your lap, sue somebody for $10 million, that's theft. And if the court rules in your favor, they just become an accessory to it. It doesn't do away with the fact that you have stolen. Well, that's the way the laws are set up. That doesn't do away with the fact that is unreasonable. That is unreasonable. And anybody in their right mind knows that it's unreasonable. And even if the laws and the courts support it, that just, they're, again, they're just accessories in those cases to theft. People who are looking, they're just looking for occasions to sue somebody. They're thieves. They're thieves. They are guilty of stealing. Again, the key is this, that we do not oppress, that we do not defraud the other person. That's the key. That's the principle. We're not to take advantage of the situation. Now, there were Old Testament laws against taking advantage of the disadvantaged for personal gain, such as the poor. Exodus 23, verse 6. Exodus 23 and verse 6. Thou shalt not wrest or twist the judgment of thy poor in his cause. So there was a law against twisting judgment against the poor. The poor couldn't afford, of course, to defend themselves. They were at a disadvantage, and people would come in and take advantage of that. That's a form of theft. It's dishonesty. Again, all forms of theft are rooted in dishonesty. There was also laws concerning the stranger, the widow, and the fatherless. Notice in Exodus 22, verses 21 and verse 22. Thou shalt neither vex or mistreat a stranger, nor oppress, which is a form of holding down him, for ye were strangers in the land of Egypt. Ye shall not afflict any widow or fatherless child. Again, there were laws against taking advantage of the disadvantaged. You can take advantage of someone who is mentally challenged or just plain ignorant. These laws cover these things. Not to look to prey upon these individuals. And of course, there are businesses set up under that fashion. That's all they do. They prey on the elderly. They prey on many different disadvantaged individuals. That, of course, is it's theft. It's a form of theft. We see also that there were laws against taking advantage of one's servants. Notice in Deuteronomy 24. Deuteronomy chapter 24 and verse 14. Thou shalt not oppress a hired servant. This is a particular servant here that is poor and needy. This individual is at some disadvantage. And if we hire them, we're not to take advantage of their disadvantage. That's theft. Whether he be of thy brethren or of thy strangers that are in thy land within thy gates. Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter who it is. It's a person, if it's your own brother, it's a person related to you or a person you don't even know. Same principles apply. So all of this goes back to what Jesus taught. And to follow what Jesus taught, of course, remedies all these forms of theft. In Matthew 7, very familiar verse, and we've known as the Golden Rule, we've preached upon this verse. It means much more than what is on the surface. But it says, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. Whatever you would want others to do unto you, however you would want others to treat you, buying and selling, you're to do the same. You're to do the same. That takes care of everything. Matthew 22, which is the summary of the commandments. Christ gives the summary of the first table, which all relates directly to God, and that is that we should love the Lord with all our heart. We do that, everything takes care of itself. He gives the summary concerning the second table, which is what we're looking at now, and that, of course, concerns man. And he says in verse 39, and the second is like unto it. Remember, the question was asked, what is the great law? What is the greatest, what is the most important law? And he basically just summarizes the Ten Commandments. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Thou shalt love others as you love yourself. Well, that would take care of dishonesty in buying and in selling, all forms. So, one way that we can steal is, again, misrepresentation. Another way that we steal, price gouging, taking advantage of others or a situation can be forms of theft. Another form, and we're not going to be able to get into this, but we do have some time, is to withhold or not pay a fair wage. And I realize, again, people have different definitions of what is fair, but I believe that most of us know what is fair. And again, it all gets back to thou shalt not oppress, thou shalt not defraud, take advantage of someone. And this works both ways, of course. The next one is being paid for something, and we can steal by giving less than what we're paid for. So there's two parts to this. I realize we live in a union state, but most companies that have unions probably deserve them. But there's theft that goes on both sides. Whatever side you fall on, whether it be management or union, there's fault on both sides, and both sides can commit theft. In both sides, I'm not saying every company in the world, of course, but both sides have been guilty of committing theft. But to withhold money, if someone has done the job, I'm not talking about you have a contract, you're going to pay X amount of dollars and they've done shoddy work or they haven't done the work at all. That's not what I'm talking about by withholding. I'm talking about withholding after a person has done the job that you have agreed to, withholding for whatever reason, to withhold or not to pay a fair wage is a form of stealing. And we'll begin to look at that, or we will look at that next week. But there's all kinds of forms of stealing. The danger is this, that in our society has grown to accept certain forms of stealing as proper. And there's a great problem there, because many of God's people have bought into those standards. What we have to realize is that God's standards are higher than the world's standards. You don't stoop to the world's standards, because when you do that, you've disregarded God's standards and you've committed sin. No matter what the world's standard is, we're to maintain God's standard. So this whole reasoning, well, everybody else does it, that doesn't cut it for the child of God. That is one of the most foolish, weak justifications that a person can come up with. And again, kids use it all the time. Well, first of all, that's probably a lie. Or everybody else is doing it. Well, no, not everybody else is doing it, because you're not. You're not going to. Because God has standards that are higher than everyone else's standards. And we have to remember that in all these commandments. Not the world's standards. That's why when people remind us of what century is, we're quite aware of what century it is. That does not change God's standards. And we're very aware that man has been changing his standards, lessening his standards throughout history. We're very much aware of that. But the trap that we're in danger of falling into is that we fall into the world's standards in any area of our life. And we all probably have, to some degree, in some area, fallen into the world's standards. And if that be so, it's shameful. So God help us to realize that God's standards are higher. Let's look to the Lord. Heavenly Father, again, we thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Lord, for song service. We thank you, Lord, for the devotional. We thank you, Lord, for each Sunday school class. And we just pray now that you would help us to worship you, to glorify you, to honor you in everything that we say and do this day, that you would be pleased. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.